Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Here we are jumping off into our second and final hour of this special edition of Sports Talk here on WWL-AMFM.com. Drew Brees announcing his retirement earlier today. Deuce McAllister had to dip out of here. Bobby Hebert, the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. I'm Christian Garrick. And Bobby, we got Mike Dettillier on the line with us as well. Mike has covered Drew for quite some time since his arrival here in New Orleans. And Mike, I'm sure it wasn't unexpected, but still, your reflection on Drew Brees' career, both 5 years in San Diego and then 15 years here with the New Orleans Saints.
He's changed the course of his franchise like no other player before or after. Come on. He's a guy that brought you to three NFC championship games and a Super Bowl title. There's been no other player like that on this franchise. So he's top of the rung of the ladder. That's all I can tell you. I covered him since he was at Purdue. Man, at that time, man, throwing the football, you know, 50, 60 times a game. They played up to Drew's talent. And when he came out that year, I had him as a late first-round pick. I had him going to Miami. I thought that would have been a great pick. And I remember a few years later, Greg Williams, who was the head coach at that time at Buffalo, told me the worst decision I ever made in my life, not picking Drew Brees. Because he said, I wanted him, but our general manager had some – you know, questions about it and how the course of not only pro football history, but college football history changed the day Drew Brees signed with the Saints. Think about it. At that time, it was the Saints and Miami. And Drew signs with the Saints instead of the Dolphins and Nick Saban. Nick might be still coaching the Miami Dolphins today if they would have signed Drew Brees. And look what happened. 1 year later, Saban resigns to take the job at Alabama. He's the greatest coach in college football history in what he's been able to do. And just look at the accomplishments of Drew Brees, where he took this franchise, which was flat on its back in 2005 with everything that had happened with Katrina, just so much turmoil going on, and you have a new coach come in, and how I still think it's the greatest coaching job ever by Sean Payton, 2006, with I think 29 new starters on the team. That team got to the NFC Championship game. It's remarkable. But, you know, it's hard to compare quarterbacks in different eras. You know, my dad, before he passed away, you could not get him to think anything else other than Otto Graham was the greatest quarterback ever. Okay? And Otto played in a different era, in the 50s. And, you know, you can compare quarterbacks of this era and that era, it's difficult. Drew's one of the 10 greatest quarterbacks to ever play the game. No question about it.
NFL analyst Mike Dettillier here on a special edition of Sports Talk. Drew Brees calling it a career with the New Orleans Saints. I want to mix in a couple of phone calls. Carol, what's going on, Carol? You're on WWL. Hey, Carol.
Yeah, like a lot of hoodass today, I'm pretty sad about Drew leaving, but I thought he was coming back because it took so long. But you know what I'm really sad about is that Drew didn't get to go out in front of the big crowd at the Dome. It was his COVID year, and he didn't get his just rewards there, I don't think. It's sad. And I'm happy for him. I'm happy for him and his family, but we're going to miss him for sure.
Give me your favorite Drew Brees moment. Give me a game or a play that you remember, you'll forever remember.
No, well, I guess it's got to be the Super Bowl. I mean, it's like, you know, who's going to forget the Super Bowl? That's another sad thing about Drew leaving now is that, think about this. We play in Tampa Bay. We beat them twice. We get four turnovers, okay? If we get three turnovers, we win the game. Can you believe that? We could have won the game with three turnovers, but we get four. I mean, it's like, it's amazing. But anyway, it's hard to point out one moment with Drew because he had so many great moments. I mean.
And you know, Carol, you know, it's so disappointing, and this is probably Saints history, and Drew is a big part of that. What's a travesty and a black eye for the National Football League is the NOLA no call. I mean, we should have been in that Super Bowl. You could say woulda, coulda, shoulda. No, we got cheated. The Saints should have been in that Super Bowl. I know we'd have scored more than 3 points. That Super
we'd
Bowl
have won
was
that.
Terrible.
Yeah, we'd have won that Super Bowl. We'd have won that Super Bowl. I knew that.
13-3. Come on. If we'd have held, you know, we think the Patriots of 13 points. You know, we always commonly would have scored in the 20s. And to me, that was just a travesty, and just Drew getting robbed in his career, Sean Payton also, and the whole Saints organization. And it's not just you got to get over it. No, you can't get over it when it's highway robbery, how that occurred.
Carol, thanks for the phone call. Bobby, another iconic moment, I think, and it wasn't necessarily a play, but you remember after the Saints won Super Bowl 44, and there was Drew with his firstborn son catching the confetti, and you could see how emotional he was sharing that moment with his firstborn son. And I'm sure, I know as a father with two sons, I'm sure that's a moment you often dreamt about, and I think many would dream about.
Yeah, and then you think about Drew's even conscious, worried about the little baby's hearing and had earmuffs because of the noise and concern and have enough composure that to think even that, to protect your loved one and wanting them to be part of that. And the other thing, and Mike will agree with this and all the Houdat Nation, is that with Drew Brees at quarterback, you wanted to wear Saints gear. You know, like you going around in public, you wanted to wear that Saints shirt, Houdat Nation, whatever it might be. You wanted to let people know who you were cheering for, and that's just because you're supporting a winner. That's going to be the biggest challenge going forward is it's a constant sell job. You got to sell the fans that we're in the hunt and you're supporting a winner. And with Drew Brees at the helm, that was never a problem.
No, Bob, you're absolutely correct about that. And you know what popped in my mind? Everybody else media-wise left. We watching Saints, Washington. Kirk Cousins is drilling this football team. And Drew comes back and makes an unbelievable fourth quarter run and gets him to win the game. And I remember it's just you and I. We're the only people left in the press box
right.
to watch it. Everybody
right,
left
right.
to go downstairs with 9 or 10 minutes left in the game, thinking the Saints had lost to Washington. And Drew makes that run. And, boy, you can see when he started to get hot, it was like – you know, you saw, like, the defensive players starting to look at one another like, oh, man, here we go again. But that game was sort of etched in my mind about how they made that run in the fourth quarter with Drew. And that day, Kirk Cousins was really hot for, like, three
right.
quarters, maybe a little bit into the fourth. And, man, Drew almost, like, ran into the telephone booth, put on the Superman gear, and he came out. And it was one of the greatest fourth quarters I've ever seen.
And you know, Mike and Christian, going forward, and you know it's going to be tough. This is an old saying, but it is so true. Now, I'm not saying it can't happen, but you know, we always say you never want to be the man to replace the man. Well, I'll tell you what, whether it's Jameis Winston, whoever, the pressure on the next Saints quarterback. Now, the transition, but they already had him in house, like, you know, Joe Montana to Steve Young. We know Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers. It can happen. But I look at examples. Look at Denver Broncos with John Elway. After John Elway lost, I mean, after he left, I mean, the Broncos are looking for the next quarterback. Well, John Elway, now he's running the team. He has to go out and get a guy like Peyton Manning. And then all of a sudden, the Broncos, they're still looking for a quarterback. The Dolphins are still looking for the next Dan Marino. So I'm just telling you, that's, you can appreciate what you don't have when they're not there. And then I think that's when you truly appreciate, you might say, well, Drew would have did this or Drew would have did that with all said and done in particular games.
I want to go back to after they won the Super Bowl, the Super Bowl parade. I want to go back to the Super Bowl parade that night, that day. And it was in conjunction with Mardi Gras. Bobby, you were riding in the float in that parade. What was that like? Bobby, you there? All right, Bobby dropped off. Mike, going back to the Super Bowl and that parade, it was the wildest city. I mean, it was the wildest moment, I think, in this city's history, and number nine was a big part of that.
Yeah, and you think about, you know, I thought about it that night, all the people that had waited for that all those years, and they weren't with us anymore, you know, and to celebrate that. You don't realize how hard it is to win a Super Bowl until you got to get the second one. I think, you know, the Patriots, what they've done with Brady, has sort of put unrealistic expectations or unrealistic things in your head about, oh, it's easy to come back and win. The one thing I always remember Jake Delhomme telling me was when they got beat by the Patriots, he said, I stayed on the field to watch. Because he said, I wanted to see them celebrate because I thought next year we're going to be right here and we're going to win it. Jake never got that opportunity again. And so, man, listen, it's hard to win a Super Bowl. They got a lot of yahoos out there that, oh, man, this and that and everything else. It's difficult to win it. Really difficult. And so I agree with Bob. It's to step into those moccasins are going to be huge for that next guy to do. And sometimes this always pops in my head. Hank Stram told me this years ago when he took Mike Ditka's place on WWL. And he was like, he always called me by. He said, by, you know, don't ever get fall in love with familiarity. If you fall in love with the guy in the room, because he said, it cost me my job in Kansas City. I thought I had a guy that could win for me like Lenny Dawson could. Lenny is in the NFL Hall of Fame for a reason. He said, nothing against Mike Livingston, but he couldn't play at that level. And so he said, you know, it's the most difficult decision you have to make at the most critical spot on the football team. And now the Saints have not had that situation since 06, and you fixing to get it now. And how much pressure comes along with being the guy, with being the man at that one spot where you get way too much credit when you win and you get way too much blame when you lose.
Tomorrow is going to be Drew Day on WWL. It's a celebration of Drew Brees, his impact not just on the Saints and the game of football, but our city, state, and region. Drew is beloved. He's one of our heroes. He is our hero. Join us as we celebrate this legendary saint and citizen, Drew Day, all day long tomorrow on WWL. And Mike, I'm sure you've got a story or two off the field with Drew, whether at a function, an MC, or what have you. I'm sure you have. I've had a couple, and one in particular that I always share is, I don't know if you remember, I think it was 2011. They called an impromptu press conference right before training camp. I think on the eve of training camp. It was him and Jonathan Vilma. And that's when the Hudat Nation, the Hudat chant was born, right? That's when they wanted to announce and explain, hey, this is how we want our fans to react prior to kickoff. And it just so happened that day was so impromptu that I had my son, my oldest son at the time, with me when we got the news of a press conference. We were running some errands, and I was close to airline drive. It was easier for him to tag along than it was for me to bring him home. So Drew does his thing on the press conference, and my son, I just told my son, hey, just sit back here in this cubicle and just try to be low-key. Don't make a bunch of noise. At the time, he was probably 13 or 14. And, no, he was 11. So, you know, Drew gets done with his press conference, and immediately after taking questions, he gets done with the press conference and walks right to my son and introduces himself. And he didn't have to do that. He could have easily just walked out, not said a thing. But, you know, he got the superstar that he was, if that makes sense.
Well, I can tell you, internet.
Yeah. Go ahead, Mike.
One of the things I always remember with him is that was a young lady who was critically ill and wasn't going to live too much longer. And I was able to get back to him that, you know, her deal was to meet Drew Brees. And, you know, Tuesday being the day off, he went to the hospital and visited her. He didn't have to do that, you know, but he took time out of his schedule to go do it. And people are critical about any little thing about an athlete today. Okay. Well, they're human too. They got things that they're doing too. But for him to take that time to go to a hospital and visit someone who wasn't going to have a long time to live is remarkable. That, it, you know, there was no cameras there. There was no social media. There was not, you know, an array of people taking pictures of him doing it. He went on his own. And in today's world, man, listen, they got people post anything about everything, where they go, where they went eat, you know, something that's sitting alongside of them. But, you know, for him, he just took that time out of his day to go visit somebody who didn't have too much more time left on this earth. Man, and that tells you a lot about it, that he would have done that. And I've heard so many different stories about Drew and him reaching out either with a phone call or a visit to do that. That takes a special person to do.
Well, and then Mike and Christian, you know what else? It's when you're leading a team, it's like when all aspects and now athletes, you know, much is given, much is required. You look what we were dealing with, you know, basically almost a year, maybe a little bit less than a year ago, the social injustice and what came about with that and how Drew Brees has to be the leader of the team. And now some fans want to give him a hard time about the situation that he's put in. He's put in to lead the New Orleans Saints. When you think about it, it's 75% African-American, and you have to be the leader. And you have to keep the team together. And it can be all for one, one for all. Think about the pressure that comes with that and doing the right thing and being the leader and pushing the right buttons. That's one thing. Not too many people can handle that type of pressure and still excel at a high level.
Mike Dettier, Bobby Hebert here on a special edition of Sports Talk. We'll step away and come back and get to your calls next. Saints quarterback Drew Brees retiring from the National Football League after 20 years in the NFL, 15 with the Saints. What did Drew mean to you as a Saints fan, and what Drew moment do you remember the most? This is a special edition of Sports Talk here on WWL.
Brees steps up in the pocket, throws, and it's wide open. Henderson, 10, 5, and there it is. He's done it. High tops and flat tops give way to low cuts and Drew cuts. Drew Brees passes Johnny Unitas, throwing a touchdown in his 48th straight game. It is a 40-yard strike to Devery Henderson.
Another top nine for number nine, Drew Brees, in his illustrious 20-year NFL career, the last 15 with the New Orleans Saints. And we are having a special edition of Sports Talk. Bobby, Mike Dettier, myself, I'm Christian Garrick. And Mike and Bobby, this day, we all expected it, but it still is met with a little bit of sadness. Would you agree?
Well, I'm going to go first, Mike. The sadness, and I agree with Carol and Colb, is that it's a tragedy that we couldn't have any, you know, butts in the seats for this past season. And the last game that he played in the Superdome, you know, you could bring Drew Brees back and put him in a car and you drive him around the field and you acknowledge him before a game. But it's truly not like if it had been a packed house. And I truly believe, even though, you know, we had disappointing end to the season, the fans probably guessed that maybe this would have been Drew's last game. Maybe he looks at the crowd and he's looking at the scoreboard, that people would have stayed in their seats and given him a standing ovation. That's the thing that, because, you know, you are going to get old. You know, Father Time, like you say this all the time, you can't play forever, boy. But, you know, when you look at it and you know, your team's winning and Drew's playing at a high level, I truly believe that Drew might have played another year. If, you know, you have a bunch of injuries you're dealing with and you get beat up, that's hard. People don't see what occurs weekday and week, you know, 7 days a week, 24/7, how you got to rehab and get ready to play again. And then when you get beat up, I think that might be one thing also. A 40-year-old player like Tom Brady, if he'd have a significant injury, that's when you almost think that, well, maybe this might be it. And so that's the only sad thing that I have, is that not more fans were able to witness his last season in a dome.
Yeah, you know, the sadness for me is I think most people are going to remember the last few years, how it ended. You know, and you forget that it is a team sport. And, you know, to think you couldn't write a script to have endings the way this team has ended it, in 17, 18, 19, 20. I mean, the last 4 years have been unbelievable. The biggest disappointment for me is always going to be 2011, because that was the most talented offense I ever saw. That they were breaking the records of the greatest show on turf up and down the field. To watch that last 4 minutes against San Francisco, in which the lead changed four times. And that our defense was so lousy, they couldn't stop anybody. But how good that offense was. Because if you'd have got out of San Francisco, you headed to Super Bowl Sunday. You had to play another game. But you would have played in the Super Bowl. And that, to me, as much as losing and having the controversial call against the Rams hurts, that year and watching, just they devastated everybody on the offensive side of the football. And to see how it ended in San Francisco was unbelievable.
Mike, can you talk about that game? Again, that year, I should say, 2011, I remember some fans, you know, we racing to go do the post game. Some fans telling me that, God, I wish the games were closer. The Saints were crushing everybody. They were beating them by 20-some points. I go, what are you talking about?
You want to go down to the wire? The gambling crowd there.
I
worked for one for a long time. You took his place.
it was like, oh, the Saints, the game's over in the fourth quarter. They winning by 20-some points. And he did that a number of times. And, boy, that's when you know you're spoiled, when your team's winning by too much.
Bobby and Mike.
Year was just unreal. To watch that offense operate at that level. And to see how it ended, because you don't try to take those games personally, but that one was difficult for me to turn the page. Now, against the Rams, okay, you can say what you want. They got robbed in that game, okay? But on that deal in San Francisco, your defense just couldn't stop Alex Smith that day.
Nothing. We made him a Hall of Famer.
No, if he'd have played the Saints 14 or 16 games that year, he would be in the NFL Hall of Fame. But, I mean, That was, to me, the biggest disappointment because, again, like I said, you needed to play one more game to get to the Super Bowl if you'd have beat San Francisco. But I got no doubt that they would have crushed whoever they played, you know, and it got to be that that's when you knew you needed to fix your defense. Because if you got to score in the 40s every week to win, yeah. you know, you're going to win one game and lose one game. And it came back to bite them because you had three straight years like that a little while later, you know, in Drew's career. So, man, listen, we just remember the memories. And they were, most of them, you know, 95% of them were really good in what he was able to do to change the course of this franchise. And you know what? Every time you heard a free agent sign with the Saints, one of the first things that came out of his mouth was, man, I picked New Orleans because I know we got a chance if we could be a playoff team because of Drew Brees.
Without a doubt.
Now, when's the next guy you're going to hear say that?
No, it's gonna
when's the next one? You might be waiting a while.
All right, we got to step away and come back. Mike, thanks for joining us on short notice, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right, guys, y'all take care.
All right, NFL analyst Mike Dettillier. We'll step away and come back, squeeze in a phone call or two, and also a side of Drew Brees that not many got to see. This is Sports Talk here on WWL.
There you go. And there it is, a 9-yard strike right over the middle to Darren Sproles. Move over, Marino. There's a Brees coming through the door. Drew Brees has just broken Dan Marino's single-season passing yardage record that was set way back in 1984, and the fans rise as one as you can hear the chant of Drew, Drew, Drew.
Another top nine for number nine. Saints quarterback Drew Brees retiring today, announcing it via social media. You can check out our website at WWL.com. Tomorrow is Drew Day all over WWL from 5 a.m. till we sign off on Sports Talk at 8 p.m. You'll hear our celebration of Drew Brees, what a career he had with the black and gold, what he meant to the city of New Orleans, a 20-year illustrious career combined. What a career, what a man, what a hero. Phone lines are open as well at 504-260-1870. Big John, what's up, Big John? You're on WWL. We got Big John?
Yeah, I'm here. Hey, I'm here.
Go ahead,
here.
Big John. You're on WWL.
How are you?
Good day,
Christian and Bobby. How are you all today?
All right, Big John.
Listen, this is the third time in my life that a beloved quarterback has ended his tenure with the Saints. And the first, of course, was when Bum unceremoniously sent Archie to waste away with the Oilers. And the second was when a certain quarterback from South of Foose signed with the hated Atlanta Falcons. And now we have, of course, today. And I don't think that the words at this time can really properly express the importance of Andrew Christian Brees to this city and this community. It's a day of sadness, but it's also a day of celebration because we're celebrating what he meant to this community, what he meant to the team, the franchise, and, you know, really he embodied how a franchise can carry the spirits of a city that was literally on its back, and it looked like the wolves were howling and the sharks were circling this franchise. Maybe we were going to move to some other place. And he and Reggie Bush and others, Sean Payton, Mickey Loomis, stepped in and resurrected the franchise back in 2006. And, you know, he's the reason. It wasn't Reggie. It was Drew that sure. I and many others bought season tickets. And as I was just discussing with one of my cousins, it sure beat therapy after the storm, those 3 hours during the day, that we could take our minds off of what was going on just to watch a football game. And for that, we'll always be very grateful.
Now, Big John, because you're a big part of what we do on the second guess, just to elaborate the play on the field. You know, we do that second guess show because everyone's so interested in the Saints. And, you know, what if this, what if that? But the second guess, we've had that now a number of years at the Silver Slipper. And it really wasn't a second guess show because there really wasn't too much to second guess overall. you were almost having to nitpick when you look at overall Saints play and Drew Brees, obviously.
The second guest show, it was more of maybe we might have questioned one or two things here and there in one of those infrequent losses, or maybe during one of the 8-8 or 7-9 seasons. But it was hardly ever that we had to second guess Drew Brees in that, because we always, you always like to say, Bobby, and I agree with it 100%, less of Drew was more. But man, there were times in which, man, Drew was so much more during a game than anything. And you all asked for, a signature Drew Brees moment. And if you don't mind, I'm going to give you just a couple. When I knew that the Saints were a Super Bowl team, and believe me, 2006 was magical, all right? But nobody would have ever guessed we would have gotten as far as we did in that year. But it was in 2009 when we were playing the Giants in the fifth game of the season, and we won 48-27. It was, Tom Coughlin, the big bad New York Giants were coming in. Right. And the Saints simply just, they excuse my French, but they whipped their asses. And, right. that first touchdown drive, I think they went to fourth and one, and they sent Mike Bell, higher than one shell square over the top for the touchdown. And then the way that Drew led the team in that game, I could tell that was a Super Bowl team. I was convinced then that the Saints were going to go deep into the playoffs and probably make the Super Bowl. I didn't think they were going to win, but who'd have thought that at the time? We were just, back then we were just happy to get there. Since 2009, it's now we want to get there and we want to win. That's our expectation. But I think that the two that's really stood out to me was actually the next week against Miami. And I think Deuce McAllister brought this up, is that when Drew had it started out pitiful. I mean, I think the Saints were down 21-3 at one point, and we start clawing our way back. And
24-3 at halftime.
24-3 at halftime. Okay. But Drew leads the charge back and he goes over the top for a touchdown. I think that was the first time Drew actually went over the top that way. And who would have thought that somebody who was maybe 6 feet tall, standing on his tippy toes, in platform shoes, would have been able to get up as high as he did? And you knew after that, it was like, maybe that could have won this game, but that's the type of player this is, okay? And the second one was in the Super Bowl itself. Everybody's been talking about Thomas Morstead. What a great career. I mean, we should be celebrating him just as much. But the that first touchdown after Thomas Morstead's onside kick, when he threw the screen pass to Pierre Thomas, I mean, you could tell that Drew Brees knew how to seize on the momentum of a football game, and that onside kick changed the momentum of that football game completely toward the Saints. From that point on, you knew the Saints were going to win. I felt that they were going to win that football game right after that. And those are the plays that stand out, is that that's the type of player Drew has been, is that he knows how to seize on the momentum of a football game. He can turn the momentum of a football game as well as anybody, but if the momentum turns, he can then seize upon it and take the team to victory. And, that's the mechanics of the man, of the football player. What he means to this community, Deuce is right. The book is not yet finished. I think we're only halfway through and what he's going to do with this community. But on the field, the man simply knew how to – he transformed the game, and that's going to be his legacy in New Orleans.
Big John, thanks for the phone call.
And Christian and Big John, and thanks for the call. Everyone's on the Saints bandwagon, and Chris, you know how many bootleg T-shirts I have. dealing with the Saints and Saints fans that give me stuff, I'd wear it. And because it was appropriate to the ceiling, as far as to the season. And they had one shirt, and I'm not saying that Drew Brees is the Messiah of New Orleans or the New Orleans Saints, but they had one T-shirt. It was very formidable where it said Breezes. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying Drew never claimed to be Jesus, the Christian that he is, but it just goes to show you how the fans looked at Drew Brees, that he truly was Breezes. And I tell you what, he he gave his hope, and that's what it was all about, if I could put it into one word.
Bobby, aside from all the gaudy numbers and his significant historical accomplishments, Brees is going to go down, I think, as a great underdog story. We all know how tall he is, 6 foot, recruited by only two college programs before a record-breaking career at Purdue. Fell to the second round of the draft in 2001, where he started his career with the Chargers, got injured, a career-threatening injury, a 360-degree labrum tear, and some rotator cuff damage, which required 12 anchors to repair. And, of course, James Andrews, the renowned surgeon in orthopedics, said Brees' recovery was the most remarkable of any athlete he ever treated. And he was back on the field with the Saints in week one of that unforgettable 2006 season. He's the ultimate underdog.
I agree with that 100%. When you say ultimate underdog, look at all the first ballot Hall of Famers. I mean, you might have different examples throughout professional football history, but how many they could say the first ballot Hall of Famers and they played the quarterback position and was considered an underdog? I mean, usually, you know, they're a favorite, or, you know, you expected them to have success. Now they got to go out there and do it on the field. But Drew was a perfect example of an underdog who achieved greatness.
Yeah, it's remarkable, that's for sure. All right, before we get to a break, Bobby, actually, you know what, we're going to take the break. I want to just talk about maybe a side of Drew Brees that not a lot of people got to interact with. You and I did. We'll talk about that next here on Sports Talk on WWL.
After 15 years in the Saints and 20 years in the NFL,
our dad
is finally going to retire.
So we can spend more time with us.
Yay!
That was the Brees crew, his kids, announcing, being a part of the announcement of Drew Brees' retirement from the National Football League the last 15 years with the New Orleans Saints, 20 total in his career, 5 years with the then San Diego Chargers. And, Bobby, you know, one of the things that we all know about Drew is his work ethic, his attention to detail, his passion, his love for the game, his ability to play the game. But rarely, because of he was so intense, we didn't get to see a whole lot of Drew Brees' sense of humor, and he could have some fun. And I hearken back to the Duncan booth a few years ago when he really enjoyed it. With me in the booth, you were a part of that. We broadcast it live on the air, and he had a really good time with that. We got to see a few laughs, some hard laughs. I remember it was Tom Savage getting ready to throw, and I said to Tom Savage, I said, I loved you in the Wonder Years, you know, after Fred Savage, and I'd never seen Drew laugh so hard. I've never seen Drew laugh that hard in my life, and it was just a good moment to see, because we think of him as a cyborg, a guy that's kind of emotionless at times, but it just showed you he's got a sense of humor. He can be a funny guy.
Well, he wasn't a robot. He knew how to interact with individuals. That's why he was the ultimate team leader. It wasn't just on the offense. It was the ultimate team leader, whether he was doing the Who Dat chant before the game. You know, he was like D.F. Hutton. When Drew Brees spoke, people listened, and they acknowledged what he has to say because he could back it up. You know, he had the skins on the wall, and he had the respect, and just the competitive drive that he had. Just, you know, with those quarterback drills or quarterback games that they would play when practice was over, just to be competitive, or how he would keep the receivers, you know, out there extra. It might have been the low guy on the totem pole, just because if he was going to take practice reps with him, he wanted to be able to understand what they were thinking and what he was thinking. So it's just communication skills were off the chart. And, I'm not saying he's a stand-up comic, but he wasn't a stick in the mud, so to speak. He was a well-rounded individual, obviously.
Tomorrow is going to be Drew Day all day on WWL. It's a celebration of Drew Brees, his impact on not just on the Saints in the game of football, but our city, state, and region. Drew is beloved. He's our hero. Join us as we celebrate this legendary Saint and citizen, Drew Day, all day long tomorrow on WWL. Bobby, Reggie White's up there. Drew Brees is up there. Is Drew the top free agent signing in NFL history?
Because the quarterback position is so important, I would say yes. Now, you can go through the years and history and obviously the impact, you know, that Reggie White had with the Packers and all that. But even as great and as important as Reggie White, you know, was, he didn't play the quarterback position. So I would say by far you'd have to show me, and maybe, you know, we could all do some homework, or even the fans might have a different opinion. But I don't know, considering the time frame and what he did for the city of New Orleans and the team, if there was ever a more important free agent signing than bringing Drew Brees on board with the Saints.
I know you guys had a really good relationship, and can you just talk about the moments that y'all interacted off the field, and what would y'all talk about? What would be discussed?
No, most of my interaction with Drew, I'm a lot older than him. He didn't want to hang out with an old man. I was more like business. I did some business things with him, charity stuff, you know, with his foundation and all that. But it was more business related. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't like let's go out to dinner or
Bobby,
anything like that.
You could tell he had a great respect for you.
He had a great respect because he knows Saints history and what all of that meant to the organization. And, you know, the bottom line is he knows that when I played, we played winning football. And obviously, giving the fans hope, but he took it to a different level. And the relationship, it was never, even though I was, you know, asking him questions, part of the media, you know, he'd always come on the side and tell me, you know, what was going on and really getting the conversation that you could have quarterback to the quarterback you necessarily wouldn't have with the general public or with the media. Just he knew that I could relate where he was coming from and maybe what he was dealing with.
I know they don't retire jerseys anymore in the National Football League, but I got a strong feeling that as long as Sean Payton's there and Mickey Loomis is there, I don't think anybody's going to wear number 9 for a long time.
I mean, I don't think nobody would have a problem with, you know, eventually you can't retire too many jerseys. You run out of numbers. And you think, so, okay, now for the New Orleans Saints, number 108. You know, but I think if you were to retire one more jersey, if you could retire Archie's jersey, hell yeah, you got to retire Drew Brees' jersey. I don't think Saints fans or the organization could have a problem ever with that, considering the impact and what the number 9 means. Number 9 will always be Drew Brees, and that stands to reason that you don't have to explain that.
He wore 15 at Purdue, wore number 9 because of Ted Williams here with the Saints, and number 9 has called it a career. He was a big baseball fan, but football was his love, and that's where he landed. 20 years in the National Football League, first ballot Hall of Famer, owned several NFL passing records, 15 years with the Saints and a Super Bowl champion. And Bobby, we're about to push out of here on this Sunday special edition of Sports Talk, and I know there's several Saints fans that are sad but also happy, and I'm sure several of them are going to go diving for highlights, the best Drew Brees moments tonight, and a day of remembrance. And that day of remembrance will come again tomorrow on Drew Day, all day long on WWL. We look forward to that, and we're going to have many more conversations about Drew Brees' career. I'm Christian Garrick, Semper Fi. I'm out. Bobby, we'll see you tomorrow, man. Do you think?
All right, bon nuit les gens. Good night, people. Who dat?
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.